Journalismus, der Frieden ermöglicht. Das ist Media for Peace, ein Podcast des Media Lab Bayern.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Ich bin Sabrina Harper und gemeinsam mit euch darf ich über friedensfördernden Journalismus berichten. Ich habe mich ja schon öfter mal gefragt, inwiefern Medien zu mehr Frieden und zu mehr Zusammenhalt in der Gesellschaft beitragen können. Oder was der Ansatz des konstruktiven Journalismus alles bewirken könnte. Wir bei Media for Peace schauen in die Krisenregion Afghanistan und den Libanon und haben 11 Fellows im Media Lab, die aktuell genau an dieser Problematik arbeiten. Die Fellows kommen aus Afghanistan, dem Libanon, Kolumbien und Deutschland. Sie wollen ein Projekt auf die Beine stellen, das es erlaubt, in Krisengebieten einen besseren, konstruktiveren und friedensfördernderen Journalismus zu gestalten. Mit jeder Folge kommen wir der Sache etwas näher und besprechen in jeder Folge auch, was mit Peace Promoting Journalism überhaupt einhergeht. Heute, in der ersten Folge, sprechen wir mit Paul Ronsheimer von der Bild-Zeitung. Beim Interview war ich dann ziemlich überrascht, wie der Vize-Chefredakteur seine Rolle in der Ukraine beschreibt. Und natürlich sind da unsere Fellows, die ich euch jetzt gern vorstellen möchte.
Media for Peace. Insights.
Hello, Shen. My name is Radka. I'm data analyst and project manager by background and currently, of course, a Media for Peace fellow at Media Lab Bayern. I am really excited about being part of this project because I do enjoy supporting people in doing what they do best. And I love how we are connecting the startup mentality with academic research and networking all together to create a product that will support people in crisis regions.
My name is Umid Subhani and I come from Afghanistan. My professional background lies in journalism and research. My expectation is to, at the end of the project, I and other fellows can help to produce something that can help the free flow of information and narratives in conflict regions, because from my viewpoint, the war parties try to sell their own narratives that can further escalate the war. My expectation is that we can block this by producing something that can help with the flow of free information and free narratives.
Hi, my name is Timur. I am the founder and owner of the agency Studio Monaco, which is based in Munich, Germany. I'm a journalist. I've been doing journalism for over 25 years now, and in the past 10 to 15 years in particular as head of content, editorial consultant in corporate communications. I'm not a peace journalist, but to understand, to explain, and to ask and find solutions, definitely was and is the driving force for me. Understanding people might be the closest link with peace journalism or conflict sensitive journalism. It should and could shape the way to a more open, aware, discursive, honest, but fair discussion. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
I'm Musa. I'm from Afghanistan. I'm a fellow for Media for Peace project at the Media Lab Bayern. I have experience in working with refugees, newcomers, IDPs, and other minorities. And I'm also an expert on cultural sensitivities and societal structure of Afghanistan, South Asia. The project means more than contributing towards bringing peace and helping in conflict transformation in Afghanistan and Lebanon. It also means for me that I learn to use my expertise in the future and be dedicated to the cause for a longer time.
I'm Darian from Lebanon. I work as a UX UI designer. And for me, Media for Peace project is very valuable because the goal of this project is to promote peace journalism, which is try to uncover the causes behind a conflict and the true goals of all participants while making sure to humanize all victims of the conflict, which is something we really lack currently, and especially in my own country, Lebanon.
My name is Julia Neumann. I am German, but I'm living and working in Lebanon for the fourth year now. I work as a journalist, mainly for German media outlets, for example, the German daily newspaper Taz or the broadcaster Deutschlandfunk. Through the Media for Peace project, I'm gaining a lot of insights about the work that journalists do in Lebanon and Afghanistan on the ground, their working conditions. But mostly I learn what hinders them to apply peace journalism as a concept in their daily work. So the Media for Peace project is very valuable for me because I think peace journalism has the potential to keep the audience connected to what is happening in the world without feeling them numb to the news. So I would like to help to rather give a perspective that helps people who read and who consume the journalist's work to change their communities and to take actions to make a small change in the world.
I'm Shafi Karimi. I'm an Afghan journalist based in Paris. I work with many national and international media outlets in Afghanistan and outside of Afghanistan. It's very valuable for me to be among of the other journalists and the other people from Lebanon and Afghanistan, and I have learned a lot so far. And I escape that together we can come up with a structure to bring a positive change in the current situation for both countries.
My name is Laura Dulce Romero. I'm from Colombia, and I have been a journalist for the past 9 years, half of which have been spent writing about peace, human rights, and humanitarian crisis. And I think this program is valuable for me because I'm learning to do new things. I'm learning how to do research in a more practical way, and I'm learning from different contexts, not just Afghanistan and Lebanon, from which I can learn experience for me as a journalist and also for Colombia. From this program, I hope to create a useful product for journalists risking their life in these conflict zones, and of course to create a prototype that will make us all very proud.
Ein Fellow ist Darine. Sie ist später noch im Interview zu hören und erzählt uns mehr zur Lage im Libanon. Kleiner Spoiler schon vorab. Dort gibt es 16 verschiedene Religionsgemeinschaften und jede hat quasi ihren eigenen TV-Sender. Auch hier in Deutschland haben wir verschiedene TV-Sender. Allerdings geht das bei uns dann doch eher nach Sparte, zum Beispiel Informationssender oder Boulevard, öffentlich-rechtliche oder private. Das sind eher Abgrenzungen, in denen wir denken. Im vergangenen Jahr hatten jedoch alle etwas gemeinsam, und zwar die Berichterstattung über Krisen- und Kriegsgebiete. Der Angriffskrieg in der Ukraine hat die Berichterstattung geprägt. Wie wichtig es ist, als Weltgemeinschaft über Krisengebiete zu berichten, erklärte Wladimir Klitschko auf den Medientagen. Der ehemalige Box-Champion bedankte sich ausdrücklich bei der Presse.
Bitte nicht vergessen, dass Medien ist auch eine Waffe. Nicht nur die Raketen, sondern es ist eine Waffe. Das macht schon, wie es auch von Dr. Söder gerade gesagt worden, von, bitte um Verzeihung, wenn ich das nicht genau wiederhole, wie Sie gesagt haben, aber von kranken Gedanken, man kommt auf kranke Wörter und dann auf böse Taten. Und genau das passiert gerade in Europa. Und davon natürlich sind wir komplett abhängig, sind, weil wir uns verlassen haben auf eine Ressource, was die Energie betrifft. Und wir haben nicht uns gekümmert, was sind die Alternativen. Genauso wie, wenn man sich bezieht auf eine Ressource der Medien und nicht diese freien Medien, was wir und Demokratie in einer demokratischen Gesellschaft, was wir haben. Und deswegen ist es ganz wichtig, dass man unterschiedliche Kanäle hat, dass man wirklich nicht nur von einer Ressource sich abhängig macht. Natürlich, ich antworte auf Ihre Frage, natürlich müssen auch stattfinden die Büros in Kiew. Das größte Land Europas in Kiew. Und die Berichterstattungen sollten in Kiew stattfinden. Ich möchte auch noch nicht vergessen, ein riesen Respekt für diejenigen, die sind schon während des Krieges in der Ukraine und nicht nur in Kiew, sondern in der Ukraine, die Journalisten, die in der Ukraine waren und dann berichtet haben. Ein riesen Respekt und Applaus für euch, weil Paul Rotzheimer ist heute da mit uns. Und ich muss sagen, wir kennen uns schon einige Jahre, seit 2014. Seit dem Angriff, dem russischen Angriff auf die Ukraine. Und wenn er in der Ukraine unterwegs ist, bin ich mir nicht ganz sicher, ob ich am nächsten Tag die Berichte von Paul Ronsheimer sehen werde, also wir sehen werden. Weil das, was Paul macht, es ist schon wirklich sehr außergewöhnlich. Und diese Berichterstattung, die wahre Berichterstattung. Und es ist gerade auch gesagt worden, das Bild redet zwar nicht viel, aber die Bilder im Bild reden mehr als Wörter. Und ich glaube, die Bilder, was Paul Ronsheimer produziert auf die Frontlinie, dort, wo die Menschen gelitten haben, Zivilisten, Kinder, vergewaltigt wurden, da kommen die Bilder. Paul, danke. Bitte mach weiter und sei dann immer mit dir dabei sein. dass du immer mehr für uns berichtest aus der ersten Ressource.
Jener Paul Ronsheimer von der Bild-Zeitung macht also einen super Job. Ein kritischer Spagat, wenn ihr mich fragt. Die Bild-Zeitung, die kennt man ja eher als spitz und polarisierend, im Boulevard verankert. Und die Kriegsberichterstattung durch Paul hat wohl scheinbar einiges anders und einiges sehr richtig gemacht. Ich habe Paul Ronsheimer direkt gefragt, welche Herausforderungen eine Kriegsberichterstattung mit sich bringt.
Media for Peace. Ganz nah dran.
Paul als Krisenreporter, auf was sollte man achten oder wie geht man damit am besten um, wenn man als Journalist vor Ort ist?
Als Krisenreporter sollte man sich sehr, sehr gut vorbereiten, egal in welches Land man fährt. Man sollte das nie tun, ohne lokale Kontakte zu haben, also Menschen, die wirklich den Ort, den man besuchen will, genau kennt. Man sollte eine Risikoabwägung machen. Ist es sozusagen die Geschichte, die man erzählen will, wirklich wert, sich dort in Gefahr zu begeben? Man sollte vor Ort zu Hause immer jemanden haben in der Redaktion, mit dem man in Kontakt ist. Man sollte Sicherheitsvorkehrungen treffen, insbesondere kommunikative. Das Wichtigste ist sozusagen auch in Krisenländern die Möglichkeit, Netz zu haben. Das kann mit Satellitentelefonen funktionieren oder BGANs. Auch darauf sollte man achten. Das ist sozusagen die persönliche Sicherheitsabwägung, die man immer betrachten muss, bevor man sich in ein Krisengebiet begibt.
Du warst jetzt viel vor Ort. Was würdest du denn sagen, so aus deiner Perspektive? Du machst Journalismus jetzt für Deutschland, aber wie unterscheidet sich der Journalismus vor Ort? Also in deinem Fall wäre das jetzt die Ukraine.
Der Journalismus unterscheidet sich eigentlich nicht, weil man ja selbst einen Anspruch an sich hat und sagt, das sind sozusagen meine ethischen und meine Rahmenbedingungen. Von daher glaube ich, ist es immer ähnlich, egal wo man sich bewegt. Natürlich sind die Herausforderungen andere. In Deutschland ist Frieden, in der Ukraine ist Krieg. Aber auch in der Ukraine bedeutet Krieg nicht, dass in jedem Moment überall Krieg ist. Von daher ist es einfach sehr speziell und jeder Ort entscheidend.
Was würdest du sagen, ist für die Menschen vor Ort wichtig? Also wenn man jetzt hingeht, zum Beispiel mit jemandem ein Interview macht, dann ist ja nicht selbstverständlich, dass es einfach so geben kann. Vielleicht ist es eine Gefahr für Leib und Leben.
Ich glaube, auch da muss man eben genau abwägen, die Situation und das mit der Person besprechen. Einige Menschen wollen sozusagen die Stimme erheben. Ja, es gibt mutige Menschen, die sagen, sie wollen sich gegen die Regierung erheben. Das ist das eine, wenn jemand sozusagen darum bittet, anonym zu bleiben, dann muss man das natürlich oder sollte es unbedingt akzeptieren und niemanden gegen ihren oder seinen Willen in Gefahr bringen.
Wenn du mit den Leuten vor Ort gesprochen hast, das ist ja was anderes, als wenn ich jetzt hier irgendwen interviewen will, kann ich einfach hingehen fragen. Was meinst du, ist ein guter Weg, an diese Menschen heranzutreten?
Ich glaube, das Wichtigste ist, Respekt zu haben vor allen Menschen und nicht zu glauben, weil man aus Deutschland kommt, spricht man in Afghanistan, in Syrien oder Ukraine anders mit Menschen, sondern immer Menschen mit Respekt begegnen, mit Interesse, mit Offenheit. Und vielleicht niemals sozusagen schon mit einer Richtung irgendwo reinzugehen.
Okay, vielen Dank fürs Interview.
Sehr gerne.
Das ist natürlich jetzt eine Perspektive von vor Ort. Für Journalistinnen und Journalisten bedeutet der Job noch mehr. Die psychische Belastung ist da zum Beispiel, politische Verfolgung oder die Bedrohung für Leib und Leben sind auch Realität. Doreen ist Fellow beim Media for Peace Projekt und lebt im Libanon. Sie hat sich in den letzten Wochen intensiv mit dem Thema psychische Belastung im Journalismus auseinandergesetzt. Außerdem hat sie sich viele Gedanken darüber gemacht, inwiefern ein konstruktiverer Ansatz der Medienlandschaft im Libanon helfen könnte. Vor dem Projekt hatte Doreen sich relativ wenig Gedanken um Journalismus gemacht. Sie ist nämlich UX-UI-Designerin. Deshalb wollte ich als erstes von ihr wissen, wie sie überhaupt zum Projekt gekommen ist.
Media for Peace. Insights.
To be honest with you, the first time that I saw it, I was so hesitant to go. I'm a UI UX engineer and I have zero knowledge about journalism. But then, like, when I got to know more about the program, and it was actually about peace building, and this is actually my first time doing this type of software or working on this type of project, I sat there and I thought to myself, like, this is a great opportunity for me to get to know journalists better, to know more about their field. And also for me, so like, I thought like, this is a great experience for me to go with and to see what I'm capable of.
You had little contact with journalism before that and even avoided news to some extent. What are your view on this now?
I learned all of about like journalists, what they face, like they have their own problems in this field. This is not acceptable. It's not acceptable for anyone to be treated in a very bad way. Like they do some tremendous work to check each and every fact because they have to go the extra step and check this is what's happening. So like the whole project changed lots of stuff inside me, lots of stuff about my perspective toward journalism and like more particularly toward like peace to journalism, which I never knew it existed. I just thought it's all journalism.
Let us know how people consume news and information in Lebanon. You live there. So is there a lot of television watching, radio, social media? How does it work over there?
Actually, Lebanon is a very free country. So where everyone can say whatever they want. There's no one that's going to sue them for saying anything. It's a very free country, which I really like and enjoy. For the part of how we consume media, well, we have like for each religion, we have its own channel. So like we have six channels that give news in Lebanon. And each one actually might give you the news in a very different way because each one of them, they want to support their political party or the person that's funding them, like and money-wise. So you will hear the same story in different ways. And also we really take information a lot from social media, especially from WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the most used communication tool. So like there's tons of news on WhatsApp and tons of WhatsApp groups about news and stuff. And like it's a whole mess and people be sharing whatsoever. And like there's tons of misinformation, disinformation in Lebanon. Like, because in Lebanon now we have also the civil journalists, which are like totally regular people who have zero knowledge in journalism. They simply pull up their phones, they record stuff and they post it. So because of social media has become a very big thing. So we just get news from everywhere in Lebanon and we don't know what's true and what's not. So we just have these civil people publishing whatever they want. We have the mainstream media, which is like six channels posting their own stuff. We have WhatsApp group posting their own stuff. So it's just like a mess of information. You will never actually know what's really true or not unless like you want to dig very, very, very deep. And I don't think a regular person will do all of this, to be honest with you.
When someone publishes a news story, they influence the public discourse. That also has something to do with responsibility. Do you think the people that you are describing are aware of their responsibility?
I think they are not enough educated about how journalists do their job. They think they are simply, they go on the ground, they talk to this and they simply broadcast it, which is a very wrong thing. And actually, this is why there's tons of misinformation, disinformation in Lebanon, because people, they are not educated enough about how to find what's true and what's not. They don't have enough knowledge about what journalists do in Lebanon. They think like it's a very easy job. And actually, I have heard it many times by people, like they say like, hey, it's very easy. We just pull up our phone. We do a video of a couple of stuff and we're all done. But actually, it's not like they don't have the knowledge or they don't know what are the responsibilities or even what the journalists have to go through to simply fact check a very simple thing. So it's just they lack the knowledge.
Now you are part of the Media for Peace project. The goal is to create something that supports peace-oriented journalism. But Doreen, what does peace-oriented actually mean to you?
It's just the fact of going for what are the solutions? What can I do to prevent this from happening? Like when we talk about cholera, for example, this is something that's right now is happening in Lebanon. We have tons of people that are simply dead because of cholera. So reporters be like, hey, this amount of people died, but like, tell me how did they die? Tell me how to prevent this from happening. Tell me how can I protect myself? How I can help them? So peace journalism for me became, it's like a solution-based journalism. It's about seeking solutions. It's about constructive journalism, not just taking one part of the story and like this is the true part. No, like we have to hear each and every side of the story to then. And like it's not all about, like you said, that journalists can make you take a certain opinion. So it's not like about making me as a viewer take a certain opinion. It's about telling me all the facts, and then I can decide for myself what opinion I want to take. This is journalism. I think we really need it in Lebanon. We need to go behind the basic stuff, to know the reasons of the stuff, and not to just tell me like, hey, this is true, this is not. No, but tell me why you think this is true and this is not, and I'll simply figure it out. Like, I will know better than you forcing an opinion on me.
You said that you were very hesitant to join the project at the beginning because you didn't immediately see what a UX UI designer could contribute. Now it sounds like you're really into it. You've put a lot of thoughts into that topic. So tell me, what can you contribute as a UX UI designer?
For me, I think each and every project needs a UX UI designer. Let's break it up. Talk about user research, we talk about doing interviews with people, we talk about finding their pain points, their how they want us to solve all of this problem. We talk about the psychological effect, if you want, because we believe that if I help this person, if I understand this person, if I have empathy with this person, if I'm in the shoes of this person, I will help him better. I will be able to do the product better for him, because when we do our usability testing, what's meant with usability testing is that we test our product or someone else's product to see how, for example, a journalist would react to it. UX will bring lots of useful insight of how to create the whole platform and also the psychological effect. So we'd be like, okay, what would be make it easier if they click on this or if they click on this? What button, like, how are they used to see? Like, for example, maybe in a newsroom, they will have a navigation bar at the top. So I'd be putting it at the top. I need to study how they are used to do these stuff. So we like need to study tons of stuff that, in my own point of view, I don't think that anyone else will be like a fit for this position, as like only a UX UI designer will know what's good and what's bad for journalists, for example, because they have studied them enough and because they are our main target.
Currently, you are divided into subgroups at the project. What is your group currently working on?
So we had problems like actually fake news, which we were talking about. This was a major problem. We talked about also self-censorship. We talked about also about the trauma and mental health. We also talked about the problem of, for example, journalists who are piece journalists, and when they want to pitch their ideas to like their editor, and because they don't have this piece journalism approach, they will simply decline it. So we want to go like, why would they decline it? So we have like tons of findings and stuff. So right now, currently, we are working on the mental health issue for my group. And you are also working on the pitching, which is like, why would an editor decline a piece of journalistic article? So for mental health, we found that journalists face lots and lots and lots of trauma. And actually, this trauma is never treated. And this trauma, like the reasons behind never treating it could be for example, they are afraid of losing their job. So, for example, if you go to your manager and you tell him, hey, like, I have a mental health problem because you sent me on this assignment, you will think that you are not reliable enough. Like, hey, we need someone else on the team. This person cannot, like, do the job that I want him to do or her to do. There's stuff that's related also to the opportunity. They think that, hey, I will not have an opportunity if I tell them like I have some mental health issue with some assignment. And also we found that actually what really surprised me is that soldiers and journalists, they have the same trauma, they have the same PTSD level, the same depression level when they come, for example, from a combat area or from a war. This is something that we really need to solve, like teach them, educate them, like, hey guys, if you do want this assignment, you might have not only physical trauma, like we need them to talk about the trauma that happens for their mentality. So if you faced 1, 2, 3, these are indicators about the trauma. Just come talk to us, have a psychologist, a psych psychiatrist, anyone, just talk to someone. Don't just keep it inside you, because if we just notice these stuff from the beginning, we can save journals from lots and lots and lots of problems. I think we need to start from the top, because journalists, they know they are, like, they don't know they are facing trauma, but they know it's there. They just need some education. But I think the main target at the top and not the bottom.
So that's really interesting. You also mentioned that journalists have a trouble pitching their stories, that editors reject the pitching for the story in the approach to constructive journalism because audience isn't interested.
The main thing was religion. It was money, because, hey, guys, we need something for people to click on it. So let's throw the war word in here and everything will be totally fine. Some of the newsrooms, they have people in power that fund them. So they be like, hey, guys, we cannot really talk about this. This person is funding us. How are we going to keep up with the whole newsroom? If we just talked about this person, he would just crow the whole newsroom. Actually, also, most of these people, they simply became freelancers. So they have the opportunity to write whatever they want. So next to their main job, they be doing freelancing and they be writing their own article, their own thoughts. And like, other solution was like to simply also to educate these managers or these editors about what PC journalism is actually all about. Because if you come to Lebanon and you talk with a journalist and you tell them, hey, do you know what PC journalism is? They'd be like so confused. Like, what is that term? We never heard of it. And even the editors never heard of it. And some of them, they kind of do it, but they don't do it. So like their newsroom are a mix between doing it and no, but they never ever relate their names to PC journalism. They simply like have it like, we don't know what does that mean. So we really need to educate about what PC journalism actually means.
So what to do? Is it that way? What are the benefits for editors in Lebanon to provide peace-oriented journalism?
Actually, we also wondered about the same question, like, what is the benefit behind it? And when the editors talked about the clicks, we were like, hey, but are audience interested in war journalism or in peace journalism? So we found like a third actor in our whole story. Like, we need to see the audience point of view. Maybe they will actually like peace journalism. So if the audience like it, the editor is forced to write about it. So we actually did some more research about the audience point of view, about PC journalism and about war journalism. And we actually found that people really like PC journalism. They want to see it. They want to have the freedom of them choosing the side they want. They wanted to see solution. They want to understand that why this stuff is happening. So when we went back to the audience enjoyed the peace journalistic article more than the war. So then we go back to the editor. We tell him, hey, these are our researchers. We know that these people don't like your war journalistic stuff, but they simply are reading it. They don't have like something else to read. So this is the only thing that's present for them. So they are clicking on it. But if you offer them a different thing, they will simply give you different results. So the editors then will understand that, oh, well, the audience of Lebanon actually like peace journalism.
That's a good word at the end, because in this podcast over the next few weeks we will be talking about different topics and with different players about a new kind of journalism.
Vielen Dank, Doreen, für deine Insights. Das war's auch schon, die erste Folge von Media for Peace, der Podcast zum Projekt. In der nächsten Folge spreche ich mit Ellen Heinrichs über den konstruktiven Journalismus und natürlich schauen wir den Fellows weiterhin über die Schulter. Mehr Informationen zu Media for Peace findet ihr auf unserer Webseite media-lab.de. Ich bin Sabrina, ihr könnt mich auch gern auf LinkedIn adden oder mir dort eure Fragen stellen. Gibt es ein Thema, das euch umtreibt, das wir besprechen sollen in unserem Podcast, meldet euch einfach bei mir. Ich freue mich, von euch zu hören. Die nächste Folge erscheint dann in 2 Wochen. Ich hoffe, ihr seid wieder dabei und bis dahin wünsche ich euch eine gute Zeit.
Media for Peace, der Podcast für friedensorientierten Journalismus. Eine Produktion des Media Lab Bayern. Media for Peace ist eine Kooperation mit dem DTEC BW, Zentrum für Digitalisierungs- und Technologieforschung der Bundeswehr und der Universität der Bundeswehr München.